Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Alec.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap,
where my brother and I try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This episode?
Captain Gray. What happens when a super soldier has the world on his back, but his mind can't take that weight?
Just to watch it fall apart.
Okay. An idea here inspired by what I thought Halo 4 was going to be.
Oh. Well, yeah, that sounds right. What did you think Halo 4 was going to be?
I thought Halo 4 was going to be Master Chief, you know, being realistic from a human psychiatric kind of point of view. In that you've got... Okay. Okay, yeah, this is what we're doing. Book down, pen. I'm going to gently put that down. So, games like Doom, Halo, and there are a bunch of others, but none of them really come to mind, are fun because you are the machine of war, right? We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
How you are the machine of war, you're a man of war, and you are, like, you play those to live out this weird machismo kind of grotesque, gratuitous fantasy of, I'm unstoppable, the Thanatos drive is, there's a thirst that's being quenched there. So, when you say we're going to give Master Chief feelings, we're going to give BJ Blazkowicz feelings, we're going to give Doomguy feelings, I don't want to see them as anything but the bad guy for the new protagonist, the new machine of war, unless you're planning to wildly change the genre, you know?
Okay, so are we talking about giving a new machine of war a bad guy who was the previous machine of war, or are we talking about wildly changing the genre?
Well, we could... No, we're not going to make a video game story. So, we are going to wildly change the genre. Because what Hunt the Truth, the podcast, did, that was sick. Because
great podcast.
If we made Halo 4, if I were the creative lead on that, and they said, make Master Chief have feelings, make him have, like, a mental break, I would be like, okay, but it's a video game, and I'm not going to make Hunt the Truth, the video game, where you're a journalist looking into, like, is Master Chief gone bad type of stuff? I would be like, okay, this is a video game. I'm going to make the next Spartan, and Master Chief is the bad guy. And maybe there's a twist there that he's not actually the bad guy because he's the staple for the... He's the poster boy for the series. But if you were to say, make a movie where a machine of war has a mental break and make it a movie, I'm making Hunt the Truth. It's going to be... You know, detective, journalist, looking into that kind of thing. So now we decide, do we want to make this a part of some other IP, or do we want to make it original? And we always go with original.
Yeah, I think we can do original. I think it can be heavily inspired by other IP. It could be, I feel like the obvious options are, we've been talking about Halo, and another solid option would be Marvel Cinematic Universe with the super soldiers.
Ooh,
yeah. Which, you know, I didn't watch all of it, but Falcon and the Winter Soldier was kind of looking into that. So, I mean, that's an option. In both, these poster child super soldiers came about as the result of really unethical experiments. There's another option there is mech suits. I mean, this is rife. I mean, there's just been a lot of different versions of, we have this technology or this avenue towards having perfect soldiers or super weapons, and it's just always really dicey.
To adapt something like that, where the person themselves isn't the unstoppable thing, but they're, like, you know, the master of the unstoppable thing. It could be a mech, it could be like a monster they summon or something like that. We would probably have to look into, because what the detective journalist person would, like, uncover could either be, you know, something awful that the Machine of War character did that, you know, the government or whoever covers up to keep them as the poster boy, or they look into the origin. And I kind of want to avoid looking into the origin, and that's what's messed up that the journalist uncovers, because that would just be Hunt the Truth.
Okay, so we're not trying to make an expose of Sin's past idea here. We're trying to, like, uncover create a story where we uncover something that's wrong or bad about the current poster child for the shady government program that made superhumans.
Yeah, okay. We're cooking something good now, because in Hunt the Truth, the origin of Master Chief just turned out to be an outright lie, and we could come at it more of like a Watchmen angle, where what's wrong with it is what we see as this all-powerful person doesn't just go over and stop the war, they go over and win the war, Dr. Manhattan in Vietnam style, and they have an origin story that is true, but the government, military, intelligence, whoever, manipulates the narrative a little bit, you know? It may be something that happened wasn't an accident. You know, it's they don't, like, outright lie about the origin story, but it's, you know, more traumatic.
Okay. I like that. So, what are we committing to?
Okay. Since the start, I've wanted to do Super Soldier. Are you okay with that?
Or I'm good with Super Soldier. Super Soldiers are fun.
Super Soldier is just so clear what direction to go with it, because it's a person, you know.
Okay, what did this Super Soldier defeat?
I'm thinking they just won a war. Like, well, maybe not won a war single-handedly, but, you know, made the difference that ended up winning a nation. We'll probably go with America because we're American. They won the war for America, and I'm thinking just like a Deadpool or Wolverine level healing factor. So it's like, wow, look at that. The bullets don't bother him. And no, they definitely do. That dude's getting shot. And it hurts tremendously bad. He's just, right. you know, he's just tough enough to take it. And then, you know, he hasn't been getting therapy or anything. So he goes off the rails.
Okay.
So it would definitely have to start. The teaser scene at the beginning would definitely have to be, maybe there's like a 5 second something or other that gives you like a peek at like the dark, gritty genre this movie's actually going to be. But the first real scene would have to be either, you know, a day in the life of them idolizing the super soldier, the American people idolizing the super soldier, or just straight up like a propaganda film that the government shows the people featuring the super soldier.
Okay, so I don't know. Do we want to emphasize who this enemy was? Is it like some external entity? Is it aliens? Did we just finally snap? And did Canada just finally snap and come down on us like we always knew they were going to?
It has to be.
Did Germany start its shit again?
Or so the Germans would have us believe. It would have to be contemporary. At the oldest. Now that was a little weirdly worded. We couldn't put this in, like, Vietnam times, like, Watchmen style. Or, you know, in the past.
Partly because we don't know enough about that time period, honestly.
Yeah, we're not great on history. But we could do it, but then it would have to be, like, a critique of literally a real-life government. And I'm not much for that, because that tends to date your film. So I would prefer either contemporary, and then we make up some sort of, you know, terrorist cell. We give it a name, you know, Call of Duty style. And it's something that's entirely plausible and realistic. Or we go, you know, near future, far future. What we defeat is aliens. What do you prefer? I could go either way.
I think that I'm tired of aliens. I don't know why I'm so tired of aliens. I say we go near or far future and just make up a government. We make up another country.
Okay, cool. I'm getting Modern Warfare, the new Modern Warfare, and what was that? Infinite Warfare or Advanced Warfare, the one with Kevin Spacey type of vibes.
I feel like that was Infinite Warfare. They're all the same. They're not, actually. I'm given to understand that they were all very different games, but whatever.
Yeah, they all equally sucked. Modern Warfare was sick, though. I loved the new Modern Warfare. I'm thinking a pretty grounded in reality type of military vibe. Obviously not too realistic, because realistic stuff is nuanced and hard to look at. Not my bag. So we go with, this won't make too much sense to you because I don't think you played either of these games, a Modern Warfare kind of feel for the environment and everything else, but an Advanced Warfare kind of super soldier in that he has like biomechanical implants and stuff, and he's like the only person in the world who does.
Right. Okay. No, I remember I've seen some gameplay for both of those games, so I understand where we're going with this. It is that this guy is kind of out of place in this more realistic, more contemporary world. It's like, this is a place where there's weapons that are like maybe 10, 20 years ahead of where we are. And this guy feels like something 200 years ahead of where we're all at.
Right.
He can heal almost immediately, and he's got super strength from nanite implants and all kinds of crap like that.
Yeah. So we did away with the supernatural part of it that Watchmen had for Dr. Manhattan. We should come up with... Okay, so now we've added to the checklist of things we need to come up with how he gets his powers. Because now... Well, okay, we can add back the hunt the truth part of things where, like, it was no accident. Maybe the government pretends like it was, like, a soldier who wasn't where he was supposed to be, wrong place, wrong time, fell into a vat of gray goo, and then emerged a super soldier, but went in reality, like, it was an experiment and it was messed up.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And I think that makes a lot of sense, is that having it presented as like this was a man gifted with extraordinary power. And maybe they present him as being more qualified than he is, when in fact it was just like they picked some recruits. They're like the best. He was an excellent special ops person, and it's like, no, he was a dude in the army.
Right.
And we injected some stuff in him because it was implied, some tests implied he would be genetically compatible. And we tried it on, like, 200 guys, and 199 of them died.
Right. Okay. And I've got the first scene, and it's all tying together well now. We've done enough world building for now, and now we gotta explore more through the lens of our protagonist.
Okay, yes. About halfway through our idea, we go, we need a protagonist.
So we've got the super soldier and the whole world and how the government works, essentially, and what's wrong with it. Now, the first scene, this is how I'm picturing it going, is it plays out like a documentary, this first scene. You know, like a dramatized documentary, you know? It's narrated. He was sweeping the floors. He's not a janitor. I don't know why I said that. He was doing something. He realized he left something behind in his locker, so he thought he'd cut through R&D or whatever, because people do it all the time, after all. But then he did. He fell into a vat of that gray goo stuff, and he emerged Captain Gray. Captain Morley Gray. And then it, like, stops, and then some executive types, and then there are some military types in the room also. They're showing this to either our protagonist, the investigative journalist, or, you know, the investigative journalist's boss. And they're like, this is what we're making the documentary about. Go out and gather, you protagonist, go out and gather, you know, information about who he was before that. Go out and gather information. Or, well, it wouldn't make too much sense for... Damn, but the backup plan I have is too much like Hunt the Truth, where he's just an investigative journalist who, like, is doing a piece about the savior of mankind and whatever, and then he stumbles on something, like, some discrepancy that doesn't make sense. He goes the extra mile to make it the best article ever, blah, blah, blah. But then the narrative doesn't match up and all that, you know?
I mean, yeah.
This is tough.
I don't see the problem. Every investigative journalism story is the same story.
All right, let's go with it. Okay. It's paper, a virtual paper. It's the future. Virtual newspaper. Let's say it's the somethingth anniversary of Captain Gray saving us from... No, let's say it recently happened. That way we can ease you into the world a little bit easier.
Yeah, so no more than, like, 5 years.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since Captain Gray emerged and kicked ass.
And you know, we see him do some stuff on the news sometimes.
Oh, you know what would be really cool? Is you see the narrative from both perspectives of the protagonist journalist getting to the truth and Super Soldier becoming the Super Soldier guy. So that way, when he's like digging up this narrative that he's meant to find, you're watching that play out from the Super Soldier's point of view. And you're thinking it's like an origin story for this cool guy that you already know is, you know, super powerful and all that. But then once the protagonist starts finding stuff he wasn't meant to find, then that's when the Super Soldier's scenes start getting like kind of freaky, kind of, you know, horror movie spooky-esque.
Right. Because that's when we start seeing it's like, huh, there were a lot of people involved in this. Where are these other guys that they were doing experiments on?
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess that could be like the midpoint is where the Super Soldier's narrative kind of stops. You know? And then he becomes... He's not the bad guy. His character is sort of treated as like the victim who straight up dies and is replaced by the what we call the Super Soldier. Ooh, this is tough. Mostly because my throat's dry. And my water's just out of reach.
Are we almost to halfway?
We got like 10 minutes.
10 minutes to halfway?
Yeah, we're on fire.
We're on fire. Okay. Well then, we got sort of our news on parade beginning bit.
Yeah, the trouble is the Super Soldier can't really enter the equation, you know? That didn't make sense.
Well, in Hunt the Truth, we never interacted with Master Chief.
Right, but that was... And you don't feel like you're missing out because you know Master Chief. You know his story.
Okay,
but in our movie, we made him up, so we don't.
Okay.
Okay, well, okay, I mean, yeah.
That's fair.
He'll have to have some mental snap. Okay, more stealing from Hunt the Truth. Some conspiracy group sends a video of Super Soldier doing something really messed up they send that video to the protagonist.
Right? Yeah, all right.
And that's like something that was blamed on the terrorist group, you know? In the papers and all of that, it's like, oh, terrorist cell group.
Yeah.
Bugaboo. Blows up building. And then you see the security camera footage that like got retconned and is impossible to find of Super Soldier doing that thing. And then it becomes not just a search for the truth, but a little bit of a search for him. Maybe he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I like that.
Okay, this is pretty cool now.
All right. I think that... I think that makes a little more sense if the scenario is... like, they say, the terrorists blew up the building. It's like, no, he blew up the building to kill all the terrorists and all... But also pretty much everybody else inside.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty good. I dig that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this kind of story, which is about somebody going, like, doing horrible things, like a person who's perceived as a hero doing horrible things, those stories are a lot stronger when that person is still trying to be a hero. They're still trying to do what they think is right, but it when it's not them doing, just doing bad shit for its own sake, when it's about them going too far.
That's pretty cool. So, what happens to Super Soldier after he does that? Is he captured by, you know, the military, whoever? Does he get away? And if he gets away, does he, like, go off to live in the woods by himself? Or does he, like, try to... But for his character to keep making sense past that, he would have to try to, like, become a vigilante or something. And that would be weird.
Well, I mean, there's... partly, there's this idea that he's not really in the public eye.
Yeah.
Or that he is in the public eye. Still, I think... I don't know. I think we have to make a decision about that. Do we want a story that's... Okay, hang on. I've got it. The official line is that he died in that explosion.
Ooh, okay.
The world's hero died fighting evil and trying to save lives. And he saved a certain number of people who got out of that building. And now it's a retrospective on the life of America's greatest hero.
Cool.
The implication being that he was going off the rails, and he has escaped. And now there's a number of ways that we can take this, that our super soldier is quietly... He's just sort of gone into the woods and is not going to come out, and is just content to let everybody think he's dead because he knows that if people know that he's still alive, they're just going to keep taking from him and taking from him until there's nothing left of him.
Mm. Counter offer.
Uh-huh.
The explosion happens. The narrative is that he died in the explosion. That's why we're looking into it. But, in truth, he was captured in the chaos of the explosion by the military. And they released that story that he died just to, like, you know, get him out of the public eye. Oh, it's a big tragedy. When in actuality, they have him in some underground facility. And he's, like, they're trying to recreate him.
Okay,
make a
yeah.
new super soldier. And he is, like... batshit insane.
Yeah. Okay, final idea, which I think we'll probably go with that one that you just pitched, but I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, is that I think we've established that this guy is dead to the world.
Right.
So our super soldier, the military has covered up that he is the one who... blew up that building. He is on the run with a network in a network of extremists.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I see what's going on now.
Yeah, that he doesn't believe, like, he's been pushed so far that he doesn't believe the government's doing enough. He believes that they need to take more extreme measures to keep America safe, to preserve our way of life.
Ooh, okay.
And he keeps saying things like that.
It's cool, but it's getting a little... Not a little too political, period. But, like, a little too political for, you know, some executive. Because
I mean, yeah, this is not, like... This is not an indie film.
Yeah, most definitely. We need crazy budget for whatever this movie's going to be called. Because we're in a really good spot for a commercial break right
okay,
now.
Okay, great. So then we'll go off. We'll sort of pick a title, try to solidify who our protagonist is going to be a bit. And there's one more thing. Pick between those three ideas and select which one we're going to focus on in the second half.
We're going to grab a drink and come up with names.
That's the one.
We'll be right back.
We're back.
And we're back. We've come up with a title, Captain Gray. We'll get into that in a second. But more importantly, we have pivoted bigly. But you'll love where it goes. If you were invested in what we had going on, honestly, just check out Hunt the Truth, because we were just basically copying and pasting what happens in that. But now, Captain Gray is about a soldier who is named Ralph, who joined the military after he saw... we're keeping the super soldier. His name is now Captain Gray.
Roger Gray.
Captain Roger Gray fell into a vat of nanobots or something. Playing into the Gray theme. He saw Captain Gray save a bunch of people, kick a bunch of ass, and then he joined the military and he wants to go into the new super soldier program and all the other super soldiers that we're now going with, the British Army, the SAS specifically, is all the super soldiers they're making are not as powerful as Captain Gray, and people are just writing that off to, oh, he's the hardest working, the best, all that. Ralph is, at the beginning, he's just a soldier, and then the call to action, inciting incident, he's accepted into the super soldier program, and then he's like, oh, this is so great, I get to start, when do I start? And he's like, okay, well, son, after this strike mission. And he goes on the mission, and like they start losing, things start going wrong, and who shows up to save them but Captain Gray himself? And he's like, holy, this is awesome, I get to fight side by side with my childhood hero. And then when he's about to be like, all right, let's go, Captain, Captain Gray rips a dude's head off, and he's like, oh my gosh, well, I suppose this is war and all that. And then once it's over, he's like, hell yeah, high five, Captain. And then he's like, you can see the captain is about to attack him, but before he can, you know, a shock collar or a trank dart or something stops him. And then some, you know, British intelligence suit types. I'm going to say CIA because I don't know what the equivalent, British equivalent of CIA is.
MI5.
Oh, yeah. So MI5.
Well, MI6, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
One of those MIs.
Yeah. MI6 rolls up in suit. Some suit types roll up and, like, put Captain Gray down, essentially trank him, immobilize him, and then take him away. And they're like, you know, just the thrill got to him. We're taking him home now. And then that, like, changes Ralph's perspective of the super soldier program. And that's sort of the midpoint twist we've got, is like, there's that little peek into the mental state of the super soldier. And we're going to get into, it's basically Halo. There was the Spartan 1 program, which was super unethical. That's how they made Master Chief. And then there's the new super soldier program, which is not as unethical. And that, but that's also why the new super soldiers aren't as powerful.
Yeah, because it's experiments done on consenting adults as opposed to kidnapped children?
That's what Halo did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Halo, in Halo, they kidnapped children.
Do you want to get into the names? Why we named everybody one?
Right. The names we ripped from Lord of the Flies, because Lord of the Flies, which I think people tend to read a bit too simply, that just says, like, humanity is shitty and cruel. But the author, it was Golding, right?
William Golding.
Yeah, William Golding. We only know that because we just Googled it. He actually talked about how he was specifically applying it to British schoolboys. And that's how he thought young British men behaved. This is not, like, done as a dig on the British specifically, but more just this mindset of this, like, we're manifesting our destiny and taking shit over as hard as we can. So, Roger is the most violent character in Lord of the Flies, and he's sort of the second in command of the bad faction, and it's arguably the only thing that holds him back from cruelty is his one memory of society, the fear of punishment. Ralph is the only character in Lord of the Flies who doesn't partake in violence. He represents spirituality and goodness and all these other things. So
that was Simon.
Simon? Okay.
Ralph kills Jack. It's just, you see, we were going to name the protagonist Simon because, you know, he's
right,
because
Simon
the good
does
one.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he gets the shit kicked out of him and he dies.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah. It's a sad book.
Oh, yeah. What was was going to say something else. Can't remember what.
So Ralph is sort of the protagonist of Lord of the Flies, or the one you follow most closely.
Right. So we've got the groundwork. We got the midpoint. What does our protagonist, Ralph, do now that he not knows the truth, but gets a little peek at it?
Okay, I think I came up with something good for this. At the beginning, we've got all of these prospective people for the Super Soldier program, and there is sort of a journalistic profile on them, like with fake names and stuff. But it's like, could these be the next generation of Super Soldiers? And this is like a real journalist who's kind of been kicked back to do this, and he thinks this is a bullshit program, that it's like a pure publicity stunt trying to get Lightning to strike twice.
Okay.
But then after Ralph sees this, he calls this journalist.
Okay.
He gets into contact with him. So now we have this, we still have this journalistic angle.
Yeah. Okay. How about I dig the journalist and thinking this is kind of a bullshit article job for him. But how about Ralph is, as part of his character, he's in love with the idea of super soldiers. So he is like, no, you should take this more seriously. And he's like, journalist guy, David, I don't know, more Eurocentric white ass names. David is like, man, I don't care about this. I don't even have any of the terminology. I don't even have the clearance for, you know, fancy equipment and all that. And then Ralph is like, I'll shell out some money so that this article is kick-ass and everybody can see how kick-ass super soldiers are. And so they shoo in some money, and then he starts wearing a body cam without running it by anybody because he doesn't think it's such a big deal.
Oh.
And so he's wearing that when Roger, Captain Gray, like, almost outright attacks him. I remember the point I was going to make a minute ago. Gray spelled with an E, because America, we spell it with an A. But in Europe, you spell it with an E.
A color.
With a U.
With a U.
Shoppy. Shop-a-pay. Oh, gosh. Those jokes do not translate at all
on a podcast. They make a lot more sense written.
Yes. Okay. So we've got the body cam footage, and that way it's... Because we could make it a plot point that it's hard to convince anybody else that Gray was about to attack him. He's like, no, dude, you're just seeing things. But since he has the body cam footage, and he shows that to David, the journalist, because I feel like it would be kind of a plot hole to convince David without some concrete proof, you know? And then he's like, look into this, David. And then, you know, leading up in past the midpoint before the climax of the movie. It's kind of tough, though, because we've only got half a movie to work with, and the protagonist doesn't even know what he's working towards. I like doing that with a midpoint twist, thinking he knows what he's going for, and then it's switching up.
Well, he does know what he's going for initially. He's like, he's going to be a super soldier. He's going to become this. He's going to fight for truth, justice, and the British way.
The British way. What we have to work with is the super soldiers, who are potential allies, maybe even potential adversaries for Ralph, our protagonist. We have the journalist, who is most definitely has to be a deuteragonist. We have Roger, Captain Gray. And then we have, you know, MI6 suit types. And we're not even getting into who the terrorists might be. So now that we know what we have to work with, what would be the strongest goal for Ralph to work towards? Would it be something like exposing Roger, Captain Gray, and MI6 for what he is and how they made him? And then, like, the villain at the end turns out to be right, in a sense, that, like, we are winning more wars and saving more lives because we are doing this unethical thing to this monster?
I feel like this is so not the point of what you just said. I think MI5 is, like, the British Secret Service, and MI6 is, like, the British CIA.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, so the MI6 does a bunch of foreign stuff, and MI5 does a bunch of shady domestic stuff.
Okay, so MI5 is who we would be
probably, yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Research. That counts. Okay. I think there should be a single suit. Not a group of MI5 guys who come and pick up Roger when he goes off and almost attacks Ralph like that. A single suit comes and picks up Gray when he's knocked out right before he attacks Ralph. So that way we have a face, you know, someone to go after. And that way, when he shows David the body cam footage, he's like, who is this guy? And he's like, oh, I can't find nothing in any real database. And that way, oh, that's good. We have Ralph on the inside doing secret agent type stuff to get info on who this suit guy is for David to figure stuff out. And then we've got the other super soldiers, and one of the super soldiers, all of them seem to be on Ralph's side, but then one of them betrays him so that he can get a promotion or some bullshit. Oh, that's cool. Okay, big face-off. I'm thinking, with the kind of movie we're making, it's hard to decide if this is like an action movie, a horror movie, or like a gritty close-up drama kind of thing. I think drama would be the easiest.
I think it's action with gritty close-up drama elements.
Yeah, and one or two really freaky horror scenes with... I like the idea of Gray, you know, ripping some guy's head off in front of Ralph.
Well, I mean, yeah, this all started with us thinking about... I feel like there was a stronger emphasis on Doom Guy than Master Chief, even. And that's basically his entire thing, is...
Ripping heads off.
Rip and tear, baby.
Ooh. Okay. So that's good. So I guess a good finale kind of scene would be the super soldiers who sided with Ralph trying to fighting Gray and trying to maybe kill him. Or maybe, okay, here we go. If we're sticking with the nanobots deal, we can do what Slade did in Teen Titans.
Yeah!
With, you know, he's got the button that can fucking kill him. Because it's not like a disease, it's a signal that goes to a robot in your bloodstream or whatever. So they go for that, and then they find out, no, this kill switch protocol is for all super soldiers. And me, the protagonist, I have those same nanobots. Oh man, it's just like that. It's just like the Apprentice arc in Teen Titans. And then he's like...
Greatest animated TV show ever made, maybe.
Fucking sick. Yeah, maybe. There's a lot of good ones. So he's, and then he makes like the heroic sacrifice, and David, yeah, Ralph is still the protagonist this way, but David is the one who like spreads the message, you know? Ralph had the body cam footage the whole time, and then, you know, oh, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And then Suit is looking down at him. He's like crumbled down, and he's like, I'm gonna, yeah, he pulls out the button. He's like, I'm gonna do it. And then Suit is like, I don't care. MI5 can make another one. Another one of you, another one of Gray, another... This is fucking nothing. We don't care at all. And then he's like, I'm wearing body cam footage, fool, broadcasting to my Wall Street Journal friend. He's like, oh, fuck. And then the denouement scene is David writing the article, getting the footage out there, spreading the word.
Yes, but no, because we're in England, it's the Telegraph.
Oh, okay. What's this? What? I say, my word. Interrupting my tea time with an announcement of super soldiers taking over the world. My word. My five. Shame.
Pip, pip. Must be on to cricket. Everyone will be talking about this.
Indeed.
I don't think we know what British people do.
No. So, okay, I feel like this is really good.
No, that really came together.
So the moral of the story is... you know.
Also, the suit guy is named Jack. Jack is the last piece from Lord of the Flies. Jack, Lord. Which honestly ties all of that together pretty well. Roger is in Lord of the Flies. Roger is Jack's second in command. Jack has more control and is arguably like less cruel and violent. And sort of in a way represents the last vestige of authority used for, you know, bad reasons.
This is sick. This is really good, yeah.
Hey.
All right. I feel like I was going to make one final point. Okay, so the moral of the story really becomes, making the big super soldier Gray was super unethical, but it did, you know, saved a bunch of lives. The smaller super soldiers we used somewhat less unethical stuff, but still messed up, saving fewer lives, also wrong. So the moral of the story kind of becomes, don't do unethical things. It becomes, wait, what was the, who are the two philosophers? There's the utilitarianist, and then the other guy who says never use anyone as a means to an end.
Yeah, that's, I always forget it. Utilitarianism, and that is Kant. Kant's categorical imperative. Never use anybody as a means to an end. He's like the big moral absolutism is sort of what it's called. It's like there is right and there's wrong, and it's always wrong to do wrong.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
the best example is that, like, you can't lie. It's still wrong to lie to a murderer who's asking you where your friend is so he can murder him.
Yeah, and we don't necessarily go that far because it's a movie and we can put things through a certain lens. But that's what we're going with. That's a pretty solid movie, pretty solid philosophy tying things together with, you know, new-ish, classical-ish literature, Lord of the Flies, naming conventions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This is really cool. I think this story is tapped. The end.
The end.
The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.